What's up, guys? Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. I'm the intern, Alex Napolis. Happy to be joined today by Joshua Clark. Josh, how you doing?
Good. I thought we decided that intern tag was removed.
You know, it's...
You just like it, don't you?
Yeah, at this point I'm used to it after, you know, having it for the last 2 years.
All right, well, you know, you can stop saying it, but if you want to keep saying it, feel free.
I think it's just like engraved in my mind now, you know?
That's a good nickname, you know?
And I want to throw it over to our special guest of the day. You may recognize him from way back in the day, but ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the show, give it up for Mitch Rodriguez, who joins us today on the show.
I'm waving, but nobody's watching. It's just us. What's up, guys? It's good to meet
you. How you doing, Mitch? What's new? What's new with you, my guy?
Not a whole lot, you know. Same old, same old. I'm just back in Salt Lake, living life, going back to RSL games, so I'm excited.
Things we love to hear.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, today, Andy can't be with us, so Mitch is filling in for our guy, Andy Munoz.
And I'm sure everyone is thankful.
I'm like a super sub.
There you go. Super sub Mitch. So, Mitch, I got to ask you. You were at the game with me on Saturday.
Yeah.
How much different is the Riot now than before you moved?
Well, the atmosphere is a little bit different. That's for sure. The light show is different. So that's cool. Overall, the Riot has changed a bit. Concession stands are a lot better.
Did you notice the sound system?
It sounds so much better. So much better. But yeah, still gets me the same feelings, you know?
That's what I love to hear.
Love being in the stadium.
For context, when was the last time you were at the Riot?
Well, I actually went to the last game last season.
Okay, and before that?
The playoff game. Before that...
Was it Freddy Juarez era still? Or was it before that even?
No, it was still Freddy. Yeah.
That was a while ago.
So it's been two, 3 years?
Yeah,
it was before the new owners, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I left when he who should not be named left. That's kind of when everything went down with that. That's when I moved to Portland.
Got it. So it's been a while. So... You know, glad to have you back, though.
It's good to be back.
And with Mitch with us today, we're going to break down the results against the Colorado Rapids. And just to start off, I think we have to talk about the starting 11 first, because the starting 11 was a huge surprise, I think, to all of us, right?
Yeah. How could it not be?
I'm okay with Gabin Vevers. I love that he got the opportunity to just be out there and play, but Noel Kaliskan is such a curveball, considering that Nelson Palacio is sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I know coaches harp on, you know, whoever's training the hardest or whatever, but that's different. That's a weird one for me. And I did hear through, you know, some grapevines that the coaching staff may be a little disappointed with Nelson Palacio not being that disappointed to not start. So I feel like there's something there that we're not getting, but huge, huge curveball, especially in a rivalry game.
And me and Josh need to make a confession. We realized during the second half that Beavers wasn't goal, even though we had the printout in front of us.
I don't know why it didn't click for me. I almost tweeted a few times about some McMath saves, and the second half came around, and I looked at Spenno, and I said, when did Beavers come on? And at that point, I realized I had messed up. So, you know, to be fair, from where we were sitting, you don't see the back of the jersey. But, again, I did have the roster right in front of me.
Well, and then do you think that's a good thing, or do you think that's a bad thing that you didn't notice it was Gabin?
No, I think it's actually a pretty good thing, right? Because he was steady and didn't have a bad game. So I'm going to go with it was actually a good thing. I didn't realize it. And we were impressed with what we saw, honestly. There were some shaky moments with footwork, but again, you get that with Zach, so no real difference there. But yeah, I thought Beavers, you know, I don't blame the loss on Beavers at all. So,
and it sounds like, from what it sounds like, Pablo had already talked to Gavin prior to the season starting, and it sounds like there's already a couple games circled on the calendar where where he knows he's going to be the starter in that game. In Colorado, this one was one of them. So Gavin and Pablo and the coaching staff knew that this was going to be Gavin's game. And to your point, yes, I thought Gavin fared well against Colorado.
Yeah, and, you know, young goalkeepers, we're going to be seeing him a lot more because you can't just really sub him in for 15 minutes of a match.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper, that's not going to do you any good. So I just really hope we see a little bit more of the rotation we saw last year for him so we can see him continue to grow and really start to push for that starting spot.
Another change in the starting 11 that I found super interesting and I thought really impacted the game was the absence of Justin Glad. Mitch, let's get your take and your thoughts on Justin Glad not being out because of a hamstring.
I thought our backline looked great, to be honest, at times. I must say the first 30 minutes of the game were probably some of the best RSL soccer I've seen in a very long time. And I think a lot of people agree with me on that one. But yeah, Glad not being there. I like seeing Glad there, but I'm also comfortable enough with Vera and Silva in the spots and covering the back. So not too big of a loss, in my opinion.
Well, and let's be fair, Mitch. You're not a big Justin Glad fan, so
he has his moments. He has his moments, for sure.
We'll come back to that because I have some thoughts about Vera in the second half. But we'll start with the first half, where, like Mitch mentioned, the first 30 minutes was probably some of the best soccer I've seen RSL play in a really long time.
Outside of not finishing,
but the passing was beautiful. The way that they were cutting off the passing lanes defensively was fantastic. Easily, first 30 minutes was not only the best of this season, but some of the best under Pablo Mastroeni, which is also surprising because, as we mentioned, there's no Justin Glad coming into this game. There's no Brian Ojeda coming into this game, which, again, is another big loss. And, you know, you're just coming off the news of Pablo Ruiz, and a lot of us who followed the team last year will go back to last season and kind of pinpoint where the season kind of fell off for RSL was right at that loss of Pablo Ruiz. So coming out and playing fantastic 30 minutes, I was like, Pablo who, bro?
Yeah, and, you know, it's no knock to Pablo, but I think we're fortunate in the timing this time around.
Yeah.
We cannot blame any kind of bad season this year on Pablo Ruiz being out, right?
Yes.
He hasn't been around long enough to really make an effect, so this team has to figure it out, and I think they will. But more of a who moment for me is Sava who. Matt Crooks has come in and made such a bigger impact for me already than Savarino. There were so many times last year that I'm like, where's Savarino, right? He looks disinterested. He's not very good. I mean, he's a good player, but, like, you know. But Matt Crooks, man, like, the combination passing, the physicality, he's playing that position. Like, we need that position played. And I really think it's going to come good for us. I love it. I'm a huge Matt Crooks fan already.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. His presence on the ball is just something else. Like, he looks different on the ball than I've seen at a long time at RSL. He just has I think
left Mitch.
It did.
I see the blanks there.
Oh no, his
presence?
He's been playing for a long time. He played on a higher level than MLS. I think Championship is a higher level than MLS. And it shows. He's very comfortable on the ball. His one-touch passes are chef's kiss. They are so good and crisp. Like, the first game he played with RSL, when he came on, it looked so different. Him on the ball. He looks super confident on the ball. Of course, he's tall as well, which makes it, most guys on our team are pretty short. But yeah, no, I'm a big Crooks fan. I think he has a lot more in his locker, and hopefully it's going to show soon.
As far as what Matt Crooks does on the ball, it reminds me, his passing at least, reminds me a lot of another 10 in the league, in Lucho Acosta, in the way that they're just giving you the 1-2 give and go passes, and the way he's creating spaces with just those give and goes. It reminds me a lot of what Lucho does with Cincinnati, and I love that.
Yeah, he's very good at playing that ball into space to an oncoming runner. I think our runners at times weren't expecting it, right? And that's going to be an adjustment, but that bodes well for our runners. I think the service into the box is going to increase. I'm excited. But again, there were times that, you know, Chicho would go down and I'm like getting really concerned about the depth of this team still. I'm not confident whatsoever in the backup for the 9, the backup for the 10. Really just in those positions, honestly. So I know that's kind of a derailment, but that's kind of where my brain stuck at this time.
Let's dive into the game a little bit. Let's look at what kind of went down. And I want to first emphasize in the 11th minute where we saw the introduction of Jasper Lofelson come into the game and kind of play against his former squad. Not only that, but it's his debut with Colorado. First time he's ever even stepped onto the pitch in a Rapids kit. And it just so happened to be at America First Field.
Yeah, I mean, script writers are at it, you know. The only thing that would have been better is if he would have scored the game winner for them. But, you know, I'm happy to see Jasper. I'm happy to hear, you know, in the stadium, the overall reaction for Jasper was positive.
Yeah.
There was a smattering of, you know, people are going to heckle him, but he did get a good applause. He did get a good welcome. So, you know, we didn't have a Rusnak moment there, which is exactly how it should have been, right? He didn't leave on bad terms. You know, I think he wanted to stay. I think he's sad to have gone. But happy to see him get some minutes. It's just unfortunate that it's in a Colorado uniform, but we could have used him. Our midfield depth's getting tested early.
I think Mitch is muted.
Also,
Mitch has been away for a while,
guys,
hasn't he?
I am rusty. I'm not going to lie. I was going to say, but it's kind of weird that we also see him getting subbed off. He got subbed on and then subbed off, which is always kind of a weird thing when it.
Yeah, generally I see that as a slight towards a player, but I think with him coming in the 11th minute, being more of that central defensive midfielder, I think they just kind of treated it like he started that game, and it was probably a pre-planned sub for who he came on for. So I don't think Chris Armas is having a personal vendetta against Jasper already.
Yeah, I think it was just part of the game plan. You know, you're up 2-1 at that point when you come off. Just get some fresh legs in the midfield, a little bit more of a defense, like a little bit more of a defensive-minded player who came on for Jasper. So that's kind of the way I see it. It's just a way to kind of game plan, make sure that Arsenal doesn't get back into the game.
Which we weren't really even threatening at that point. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll start with the first half a little bit. We'll come back. And again, we talked about the 30 minutes where RSL looked fantastic, a couple of missed opportunities. But then Andres Gomez, who still conflicted if it was a pass or a shot, but it ends up at the tip of the boot of Emeka Anelie, and Anelie's able to put it into the back of the net and make it 1-0 RSL against Colorado.
I'm so happy he finally scored. He's been probably the player of the year so far for me. So for him to get a goal is kind of a reward for that. All that hard work it's so gratifying for a fan and for him.
Yeah, I could not be happier for Emeka Anelie.
Super smart guy too. During his presser too, articulates everything well, knows the game well, can explain the game, which is always a plus. Some players cannot. So yeah, I really like Anelie.
That's the biochemical engineer in him. Good old Cornell.
Wow. Okay.
You can hear it. You can tell. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
Very smart.
Happy for Emeka. Like Josh mentioned, he's been arguably one of the best players on the squad so far this season.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. If you have an argument against that, I would like to hear it. And it better be good.
He's just been consistent. He's been very consistent. Do you guys kind of think that the CDM role is more his position than right back?
Yeah. And I think the team has identified that long ago. But last season, there really wasn't opportunity for him there. So we saw him more at outside back to get minutes. But I think this year, that's really going to be his bread and butter.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I think he's the game just comes easy to him. And I he's like we were mentioning, he's very intelligent, especially when he's on the ball. And I think he knows where to be and when to be to cut out opportunities and cut out spaces. And so I think that pivot role has been very, very good for Emeka.
Yeah, he's also extremely athletic and can cover a lot of ground, right? And then isn't afraid to get into a good tackle. So he has all the makings for, you know, a very good CDM going forward. And yeah, like people are saying, I've heard this, you know, from a lot of guys in the club, from broadcasters. He reminds people a lot of a young Diego Chara. So that's high praise.
That is very high praise. And he talked about it a little bit too in the postgame presser. And he's just like, yeah, it's nice, but I still got a long way to go.
Yeah, it was Trey that brought that up, put him on the spot.
That
so
sense. That makes sense.
But it's good for you to recognize that he still needs work.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I'm glad he's not walking next to his boots and think like, oh, I made it already, you know?
So. Yeah, I don't think he has that mentality at all. I think he's definitely a level-headed dude.
Yeah, from any times that we've, you know, he steps up in the presser or, you know, even just seeing him at training, he just seems a very level-headed person.
Yeah, happy to have him. It's crazy that our draft picks have actually been successful the last few years. So,
yeah, I can't really remember any draft pick that really did as well as Anelli.
The best one we've had has been Tony Beltran.
Okay.
Outside of that, it's these guys.
Well, in my opinion. Not even that, but I feel like not a lot of teams can look at their super draft picks and be that confident in the way that we are confident with Emeka and Ellie.
Oh, 100%. Most draft picks go straight to the second team and live and die there, right?
I feel like for draft picks, I mean, and we can get into the discussion of super draft, you know, another day, but I feel like draft picks, they're very far and few successful in this league.
Oh, it's kind of scary. It really is a lottery.
Yeah. Kind of moving on to the rest of the first half. And I think, in my opinion, the turning point in this one against Colorado was Georgi Mihaljevic and Bodie Hidalgo going after each other. I can't remember off the top of my head, like, or seeing a replay of what happened, but Bodie Hidalgo gets up, gets in the face of Mihaljevic. And from there, we just kind of see the emotions take over RSL, which is something that, again, I don't think I've ever seen under Pablo Mastroeni.
Okay, so don't crucify me for this, but what happened in this match reminds me a lot of what happened with Houston last year. We allowed them to get in our heads. We allowed them to make us play emotional, and it bit us in the butt.
Yep.
So I know that's where you're going with Vera later, but yeah, we let a poor decision, right? Like I don't agree with the top of your arm being part of your arm, and you know, and making that a penalty in any aspect. But what happened, right? And that really did get in our heads and turn the whole flow of the game.
Yep,
they snag a goal against run of play again. It just shows to me that, like last year, we can be very emotional and weak when things don't go our way.
Well, and then just literally right after the Mihaljevic and Brody Hidalgo situation, that's when the penalty happens. And so it's like literally back-to-back things where you let a player like Mihaljevic kind of get under your skin a little bit. Things start turning emotional, and then all of a sudden you have this call, which it's a handball.
It is, but it's a handball I dislike.
Yeah, do I agree with it? Yeah. Absolutely not. But obviously the players, especially Chicho, I think out of everybody, let their displeasures be known. Mm-hmm. And that's when the game got really emotional for the guys.
That's when we really lost. We lost it. It was annoying to see. But again, you're like, this is Colorado, right? We kind of string together some more offense, more possession. But, you know, that second half, we never could find – that first half possession. You could see the guys getting emotional. You could see the tactics go right out the window.
Yep.
Players start dropping deeper, start making funny challenges. You know, the referee, I mean, I'm not blaming the referee at all, right? He's in a really crappy position, but he destroyed any flow to the game in the second half.
Yeah.
I still think the no call on Colorado in the box with the hand, hugely questionable to me, right? If Finelli's was one, why wasn't that? Chicho had a pretty good shout for a penalty. So, I mean, yes, there was some inconsistency in the refereeing, but it is not his fault we lost this game. We beat ourselves yet again.
Yeah, and games like this, like, a lot of people like to blame the ref, and I do it all the time too, you know, but sometimes you just can't blame the ref. Sometimes it's the team, it's your team that's messing up, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
And I heard
is he
a lot
not
of
helping? Sure, but he's not the reason we lost. Yeah. Did he deserve the ref you suck chance at the end of the game? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some very questionable calls, right? And no calls. So, yeah, he deserved to get a little earful. But, yeah, we didn't do our part to not let him affect the game the way he did, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I
and like Pablo said, we should have been up 6-0 in the first half. We absolutely should have been. We dominated.
Yeah, man. Some of these the passes. Oh, I'll see you know, I was sitting right next to you.
Oh, we were enjoying ourselves. It was fantastic.
It was amazing. It was fun. It was a really fun game to watch. The first 30 minutes.
Yeah, and you know that first 30 minutes, I felt like we could win MLS Cup. I felt like world beaters, and then we're going home sad. And yeah, that's just the horrible, evil nature of soccer.
And that's why we like it so much. Because you never know.
I think so.
I think that has to be a psychology behind soccer, why people love soccer.
But I mean, it's probably the same for most sport, right? Like, I think everyone, and I think this is a weird rabbit hole to go down, but I think everyone loves like the agony of defeat and the elation of winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it makes me wonder, like, what's the difference between like a bandwagon fan and then just like a true fan? Like, does that bandwagon fan just not have the gusto to take a loss? Is that why they do it? Or
that's a good. We might have to talk about that in depth at another time.
We need a psychologist on here for this one.
I don't know what I just came back to, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. You had to take that important phone call from the president of FIFA. You're trying to rig this, right? So we get a win this week.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh wait, we're not playing
next week against Ami, but we'll get into
yes,
that. So second half against Colorado, as Josh mentioned, like, they reverted back to playing how they played last year, where it was just kind of dropping back. There was no cohesion in the midfield, and I feel I don't want to knock on Kaliskan too much because it's his first start with RSL, brand new guy, just barely being kind of adapting to the team, but he had a decent first half, and then I feel like in the second half he just kind of lost his footing in the midfield, and I feel like Colorado was just kind of getting past Kaliskan. Which, again,
there was a lot of bad touches, a lot of poor giveaways. He was kind of hard done by not being replaced by Palacio.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going with it. The substitution pattern on this one was interesting, to say the least, and it was interesting not to see Nelson Palacio. Now he really is an RSL show way back in the day.
Oh man, Mitch is bringing back all the old stuff. You got dogs barking. Oh man.
But yeah,
bringing the special guest Mitch, and he's just all over the place, isn't he?
My days, I'm so sorry, guys.
You know you're gonna hear from Andy about this one, yeah?
That's okay. That's okay.
Pepper's dumb pissed off, dude. She's still going.
I don't know why.
Nelson Palacio doesn't get subbed in. And then just interesting subs all around. I feel like they were very late considering kind of what we were seeing on the field.
Absolutely. And again, questionable, right? Like, I know we've said you want Chicho Arango on the field for as long as possible in these games, but he looked gassed. He looked out of it. So having Julio not come on for him was interesting. But then really having no other striker on the bench is also interesting. It scares me. It really does. I thought Barajas was bright, didn't get enough time. And I would have loved to see more time from Katranis because I really liked what I saw out of him when he came on. So, yeah, for me, a little late because, you know, Bodhi on a silly yellow, really toe in the water, that red. That sub could have come a lot earlier. And then Brody was looking gassed as well. So, yeah, definitely going to have to think about the substitution patterns there a little bit harder because I did not love them.
Yeah, I think for a majority of that second half, Arsenal was chasing the game rather than being the one in control of the ball, being the one with possession. And they started chasing even though it was tied, they started chasing the game. And you can tell by like the 65th, 70th minute, Matt Crooks had kind of disappeared from the match. Chicho Arango had kind of disappeared from the match. Basically anybody going forward had kind of disappeared. And especially in that midfield. And so, yeah, the substitutions were just late.
Yeah. And for me, that's because, you know, our central midfield and our center backs, they started to just kind of go everywhere. Like the pivoting stopped pivoting.
Yeah.
And I think at one point I turned and looked to Mitch and I said that exact thing. I said, the pivot stopped pivoting. And that's really when it went downhill. And, you know, once you get guys out of position and have other guys staying in position, right, it kind of destroys the flow of the game because that's the tactic. And it only works if everyone's playing with that tactic. And if I'm Pablo and I'm seeing that happen, right, the better move for me would be, okay, if we're going to revert and kind of collapse, I know I want you guys to try to do it, but, you know, maybe shore up that midfield with a Palacio, put Julio up top and just start pumping the ball over to him. Right. If that's how we're going to collapse and play, then you might as well collapse and play that way. I will give him props for not caving and going back to the old way. But at the same time, if it's really not working, you have to address the fact that it's not working.
Yeah. Well, with this, I've been thinking about this a lot with the substitution patterns and all that. Sometimes you got players that they hit a little dip in a game.
Yep.
And when they hit that little dip, you don't want to just take them off. You want to see if they can fight through that dip and get their form a little bit back. So yeah, I get why we as fans, we like to be like, oh, he didn't play good for like the last 5 minutes, take him off. But it's not that easy, you know?
And I get that, but for me, it's more of a when guys start looking disinterested and tired. Right.
No, for sure. But like for Brody, for instance, he looked tired after the first half.
Right.
It looked like he was running on the beach.
Right. But at least he was still putting effort in where like when Crooks came off, Crooks was clearly done with the match. Like he looked tired. Chicho looked tired and disinterested. It's the disengaged, disinterested and them not getting back into positions to keep your shape. That's when the changes need to happen. Right. Because if you're already starting to lose control of the shape and then you have guys not getting back into position and not helping keep that shape together, that's when things start to fall apart.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. And that's my point, but I also agree with you. Yeah.
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 The last thing I think I want to talk about this Colorado match is the Cole Bassett goal.
Ooh.
Where I think personally, for me, the center backs got caught.
Oh yeah,
Marcelo and Marcelo and Vera both got caught, and then just a bad clearance that unfortunately ends at Cole Bassett. But was it a handball?
For me, if Finelli's was a handball, that's a handball.
Yeah, I think that's where the frustration comes from for a lot of people. Go ahead, Mitch.
No, I agree with Josh. Anelli's handball, it was a weird one too, because he got pushed. And when you get pushed, your arms kind of go out. And the ball just happened to hit his shoulder. But the other one, it seemed the other handball was a lot more clearer than Anelli's, in my opinion.
For me, it was, right? For me, it's like, yes, that. And I'm not saying that because it was against us, right? Like, if I was a neutral and you showed me both those handballs, I'm picking the Colorado handball for the actual handball.
Yeah. No, same here. And the fact that he just didn't go to VAR or just review it kind of blows my mind too. I know that Pro is not part of MLS this season or are going through some struggles with MLS, but it doesn't mean that the VAR is turned off, right? It's still
right
on.
And for me, if you have guys that don't have enough experience refereeing, maybe the thing should be you're always going to VAR. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're looking at every goal again.
But that will kill the game too.
Yeah, but how long did that game pause at that point anyway?
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Just go have a look.
I don't know exactly what the conversations were, obviously, between the video assistant referee and the main official on either the Anelli's handball or Cole Bassett's goal, but they did seem a little bit rushed. I feel like the center official maybe should have played a little bit more of a part in checking and verifying that the goals were good and that the penalty was good, but it just felt quick. It felt like he was just like, yep, goal, or yep, yeah, pick him, and just kind of went with it.
So conspiracy time, maybe to avoid looking bad, they've told these referees to just kind of go with it and not overdo it. So maybe they were just trying to not overdo it with, I don't know. Either way, goals should not have counted. We were robbed. I'm salty. And before you get into Brian Vera, I'm going to say I love that he just started getting people's faces. All right.
Before I get into Brian Vera, I also just want to mention that we've yet to have the referee conversation in previous matches. And I think for the first time this season, the replacement referees impacted an RSL match.
Yeah, I think we've kind of like brought it up, but not in like a, we got screwed, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian Vera going toe-to-toe with some Colorado players. Love it.
Absolutely love it. Keep it up. Don't stop. Just don't get a red, right?
A lot more composed than the Houston one. I think the Houston one, he was seeing red and saw red. But this one, I get it. This one's a little bit more different because I understand this one. Like, at this point, you're just frustrated. The official's not giving you anything. Colorado's selling everything.
Yep.
Every dive, every little push. At that point, Colorado's just getting all the calls in RSL. All the players were frustrated. And the thing about Vera, though, is honestly the fact that I feel like he's been a lot more mistake-prone early on this season than he was last year for us.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that about a few guys, right? I'm not worried about that. I think he's still been bright. But yeah, I don't disagree with what he did, especially on that challenge on the sideline. If you're a player, right, and every call is going to the other team and you're getting hard done, you're going to at least earn that foul now, right? If that red whistle is going to get blown, it's going to be because you did foul him. And I think people mistake that for being a dirty player. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but it's also the frustration of the game.
Exactly. Yeah, it all kind of accumulates, right? And it depends on how it accumulates, right? If it accumulates into a Houston red card, right, that's a problem. But I saw nothing wrong with the fouls that he was getting into on Saturday, right? Those are very Kyle Beckerman fouls. They're very Olave fouls. So,
well, the shoulder, that was a 50-50 in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that whistle should not have been blown.
Like, sorry that the dude flew into his bench, but hey.
Again, yeah, it's just, we were running fast, right?
That just goes back to the fact that RSL could not buy a call at all in that second half. It felt like every call was literally for Colorado, and most of them were bogus. Most of them were flops.
Yep. That's where we should have put the game to bed in the first half.
Yeah. Yep, and I think that's obviously, like, I never want to blame the officials. I never want to point fingers at the official, especially when RSL had their opportunities in the first half.
Yep.
But it does suck because it does feel like we did get done a little hard by the official, especially on that PK call.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, we definitely got hard done by the officiating. I'm just not blaming them for the loss.
So moving on. Yeah. Arsenal takes the loss. 2-1
I just got
home.
A little depressed, you know,
we all looked at both your guys' faces, and you guys were, we were all just solemnly staring at the camera because it sucks. It's a rivalry game. And I mentioned this at the last podcast, like it's a little early to be table looking, but especially when Arsenal has the game in hand, how important are these 3 points? How important, not only is it rival, not only is it at home, but now you would have been sitting in second or third place heading into your bye week, but now you're looking at 6th, 7th early on in the season.
Big points to drop at home early on, right? Again, just like every other year when we sneak into the playoffs, these are the games we look back on and go, had you won this, we're home field advantage, right? I don't know what's going to happen this year, but if that's what happens this year, this is a game we'll bring up.
100%.
It's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
I think it'll be a lot different once Brian Ojeda gets back into that midfield.
Barring any other injuries, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like we're really walking a fine line. And I'm sure some guys will have some breakout seasons, but it's scary.
It's the RSL way, though, right? We always...
Oh, it totally is.
We, like, it's... I left for 3-4 years, but it doesn't feel like I left. It's still the same RSL. We're still in a build-up season. We're still dealing with injuries here. And like, we got to dip. We talk about how deep our squad is, but then halfway through the season, we notice how it's not. And like, it's the same thing every time. It's so cyclical. It's crazy.
Yeah. I feel like we're always one piece away, right?
Yeah.
Just one piece, but I'm still hopeful for the season. I don't want to quite talk about Vancouver yet. I think we should talk about it next week.
Sure.
But I don't think the season's over by any means. I don't think it's lining up to be a bad year, but I do see a lot of problems we saw last year, and I hope we get them sorted.
Well, I must say, like, in the press conference when people were asking Pablo about, like, the young players starting and, like, the lineup and him letting us know that, you know, this might be the year for young talent to start playing a lot more, I'm all for that. I'm really all for that because it's been so many seasons where we have good young players that just do not grow on this team. And I really want to see young players grow on RSL. Instead of just becoming stagnant, like Aaron Herrera. I think Aaron Herrera could have been a lot better if... I just feel like his development kind of got stunted somehow. I don't know what it is, if he got too comfortable with like always getting the position or whatever, but I feel like young players like that should have been better sooner in their career.
Yeah, I think alone could have done like an Aaron Herrera or a Justin Glad really well, right? Yeah. To maybe a different league. It doesn't have to be a better league, but a different league, you know, force them out of their comfort zone, really push them, just like Pablo Ruiz's loan did, just like Andrew Brody. So I really hope to see us use the loan mechanism. We have been, but I want to see it used more, but maybe not to USL, but, you know, outside of the country.
Yeah, no, I don't think we should start loaning players to USL. Definitely send them out overseas or anywhere else but USL.
And theoretically, it should be easier now with the Blitzer umbrella.
Theoretically, and we have seen more loans. We've seen a lot more loans.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, I wanted to continue to see that and see some growth.
Dude, I just thought about something I wanted to talk about. Luna not being as present during the... this game as he normally is.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, Crooks was very present. And then, yeah, I just noticed that Luna was not as present as normally. Normally he's the one driving everything forward, but not this time. It was a lot on Gomez and Crooks.
Do you think he got marked out of the game to an extent?
That I didn't notice as much. I must say I wasn't as focused on Diego as I normally am. I was more focused on Anelli and Brooks. This is kind of how I watch games. I kind of focus on certain players to see what happens around them. But yeah, I don't know if he got like defended out or like just zoned out. I don't know what happened, but yeah, it was not Luna's best game.
Yeah, it wasn't his best game, but I don't think it was a bad game per se. He just didn't have any super dangerous moments. So
yeah,
I think Colorado game planned around Diego Luna. Yeah. Personally,
I think
he just wasn't as threatening as normals. But
right,
I think we've seen Inter Miami plan against Diego Luna. I think we've seen St. Louis plan against Diego Luna, and I think we've seen Colorado game plan against Diego Luna. And even though I feel like he's having a rough start to the campaign because he's not getting into spaces like he was last season, but that's because teams are aware of him. Teams know that this is Diego Luna, and we need to stop this.
Yep. But that opens up a Meccanelli, that opens up Chicho, that opens up Crooks, that opens up Gomez, right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
And it's not a bad thing either because he still has the assists to go along with it. Even though he's not having probably the same impact he did towards the end of last season for RSL, he is still impacting, finding ways to impact the game and finding ways to get on the assist sheet, which I think is huge considering the fact that teams are scheming to take him out of the game.
Right. And then, you know, as soon as Gomez really starts producing, right, some pressure is going to take off Luna from the opposition. Same with Crooks. So as soon as all three of those guys are really, really dangerous, that's going to give Diego Luna more opportunities to be dangerous on an individual level.
Looking around the rest of the league, Portland Timbers gets a 2-1 win over New York City FC thanks to a last-minute golazo from Evander. Toronto with a hot start, getting a 1-0 win over Charlotte. Atlanta United 4-1 over New England. Shout out Caleb Porter. 2-1 Columbus getting it over Chicago. New York Red Bulls takes a 2-1 win over FC Dallas. Minnesota beating Orlando 2-3. I'm disappointed with Orlando.
Orlando's been bad.
I'm disappointed.
Compared to last season, yeah.
They only seem to have gotten better, but they're not playing like it for sure.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the multiple competitions is really hurting them right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure we see a different Orlando in 2-3 months.
Yeah. Philadelphia and Seattle abandoned due to a flooded pitch. Subaru Park just full of puddles and unplayable. So that game will be rescheduled at a different time. Austin getting a 2-2 draw against St. Louis. LAFC 0-0 against Sporting KC.
Wow.
Vancouver beating San Jose 2-0. Cincinnati 0-0 versus DC United. Nashville tying 2-2 to LA Galaxy. I think Nashville was up 2-0 in that one, and then Galaxy came back and tied it up. And then Inter Miami falling to Montreal at home 3-2.
Weird. Your stars don't play. Look what happens.
Not only that, but like I love Montreal so far this season.
Yeah, they've been really, really entertaining.
Surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah.
LAFC still struggling. Sporting Kansas still struggling. San Jose is a team that I'm also disappointed with.
Yeah, they were supposed to come in hot.
And
they haven't. FC Dallas is a little warm. LA Galaxy look good. Vancouver look okay. We'll get into that next week. But LAFC, man, it's surprising. I feel like I said this last year, but I don't think they're going to be the best team in the West.
Oh,
and
for sure.
St. Louis definitely won't be either. They are also 100% different than they were last year.
I'm okay with LAFC being bad, though. They kind of need a reality check. Like, ever since they entered the league, they've been pretty cocky, I think, with the fans traveling everywhere, and like all these stars coming to every game. And I think this is kind of nice. Like, I like seeing this, but I just might be a horrible person. But
oh no, I can't wait to see the day that LAFC is sitting in last place for a season. I just want to see the meltdown.
It's gonna happen.
I'm still waiting on LAFC, only because I think that their summer transfer window, they're gonna bring in some big stars because they have the cap room, and they have the space on the roster to do so. So I think they're just waiting for that summer window to kind of bring in a big star.
Yeah, because Hugo Lloris is not going to do it.
Oh, 100%.
No, he's not going to carry them. No.
No. They're going to bring in someone in the attack to finally help Denny, but it's when they do, it's going to be a big player.
Like a Griezmann, Di Maria. There's some names floating.
There's some names. All right, guys. Anything else that I know? We'll save Vancouver talk for next week. We'll catch up with you guys and talk Vancouver then. But anything else that we want to talk about, cover real quick prior or before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to say what's up to Travis Anderson real quick. Yes. I saw him at the game. Me and Mitch did. Good to meet you, dude.
Yeah, thanks for coming to say hi. That's always nice.
All right, guys, make sure to go check us out on Instagram. Give us a follow. Go check us out on X or Twitter. Go give us a follow there. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube. We post availability. We post videos and content for you guys to keep following RSL. RSL's on the bye week. No game this weekend. So we'll be back next week talking to Vancouver and getting you ready for that match. But yeah, make sure to stick around. And thank you for listening to the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network.